Hi, everyone. Welcome to our weekly study group. As usual, let's begin with taking a few moments of silence together. Taking a few mindful breaths and turning within. And as we turn within, finding our willingness to touch that place of love that's within that we all share. And holding this loving space for each other. Not only just tonight, but every day. This holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. And if we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And we place the Holy Spirit in charge by our request. Taking a few mindful breaths in and out. And slowly, when you're ready, coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Ah, all right. So we left off on page 269 of the Sparkle Edition. The subheading that we'll start with is the vision of Christ. And that corresponds to page 227 in the original edition and page 226 in the I just said that backwards. 227 in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition and page 226 in the original edition. Very close page numbers right now. Okay. The vision of Christ. The ego is trying to teach you how to gain the whole world and lose your own soul. The Holy Spirit teaches that you cannot lose your soul, and there is no gain in the world, for of itself it profits nothing. To invest in something without profit is surely to impoverish yourself, and the overhead is high. Not only is there no profit in the investment, but the cost to you is enormous. For this investment costs you the world's reality by denying yours and gives you nothing in return. You cannot sell your soul, but you can sell your awareness of it. You cannot perceive your soul, but you will not know it while you perceive anything else as more valuable. It's interesting. I'm just looking really quickly in the, it looked like most of the wording in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition was the same, because I know in a lot of cases in the FIP edition, they removed the word soul and replaced it, I think, with spirit, but they keep soul in this paragraph. So there's a lot here. This is good stuff. Before I share what's coming up for me, does anybody else have anything that's coming up for you? Any sentences that jump out at you in what we just read?
Well, it's interesting because it says, "But you cannot sell your soul, but you can sell your awareness of it." And I guess there's lots of different ways to do that, huh?
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, that's really what this is saying, that all the ways that we, I mean, even just perceiving ourselves here in this world and thinking that this is our reality is selling our awareness of our soul. We've traded our awareness of, we've traded our awareness of our soul for instead an awareness of a separate self.
Yeah.
So you're right, Paula. There's many, many ways that we do that all the time, including, you know, even just this perception that we are separate selves that are limited to bodies and that are seemingly capable of dying.
Yeah.
I have that sentence underlined. That's a really good one. And it's reassuring too, right? You can't sell your soul. You cannot. We can't get rid of the truth of who we are, but we can toss away our awareness of our of the truth of what we are temporarily. But we can't change who we are. I like, too, even the first sentence where it says, the ego is trying to teach you how to gain the whole world and lose your own soul. And that just speaks really to what we were just saying, too, where the ego, you know, is trying to teach us that this world is what we want, that this makes us happy, that, you know, we are these happy, independent, individual selves, and we take that at the expense of the awareness of our soul. And it talks, it's using this like profit investment type of language that we're investing in this awareness of forgetting who we are and not gaining anything by it.
Yeah, I think, you know, the ego wants to be right about every damn thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if only all of that, it's just the way I see how I sell my soul,
mm-hmm.
you know, how I become that separate self every time I'm in a situation where I think things should be different than the way they actually are.
Right. Right.
And
yeah.
People should behave in a different way than they actually do.
Yep. Yeah, it's so funny. It's that's the insidiousness of the ego, is that it can be so subtle and so sneaky, even in, like, you know, the little situations. I think, I'm forgetting now if I said this on the call last week, but I think I said, you know, I don't often have a lot of conflict, like interpersonal conflict with other people. Instead, it comes up as, you know, the lessons come up in other ways, and yet there's nothing really going on with a neighbor of mine, but I have been finding a lot of judgment coming up on my part and belief that this person should, you know, do things differently than they do. So there it is again.
Oh, it's insidious. I mean, really, it's just the same old, same old. It is
mm-hmm.
what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so aware of it anymore, and yet... I can fall back into it so easily, but
mm-hmm.
I can come out of it pretty easily anymore also with the Holy
mm-hmm.
Spirit, because I
right.
know that really is the answer.
Right.
The Holy
right.
Spirit is the one who helps us shift out of that nonsense. But,
absolutely.
You know, again, we absolutely have to ask for that help, and we can't do it by ourselves.
Right.
I
right.
keep thinking I can, but
that's right. Beautiful. This last sentence also jumps out at me. You cannot perceive your soul, but you will not know it while you perceive anything else that is more valuable. So again, keep in mind that the Course uses the terms perception and knowledge differently. Perceiving is what we do here. We need a body to be able to perceive. So perceiving is of this realm that we are familiar with. Knowing is in the formless realm where we know truly our identity. So if you read this sentence with that in mind, you cannot perceive your soul with a capital S. So we can't, you know, see it here, but we're not going to know it internally while we perceive anything else as more valuable, and that anything else is all the countless ways, you know, all the little things that we think are valuable here. Even you know, the value in believing that we are a separate self, you know, even in believing that the body is ours, that we need to, you know, protect it and ensure its safety and that sort of thing, that's even putting, you know, something in between our awareness of what we truly are, even using the body as the block. I hope that made sense. Let's take the next paragraph. The Holy Spirit is your strength because he perceives nothing but your soul as you. He is perfectly aware that you do not know yourselves and are perfectly aware and perfectly aware of how to teach you what you are. I just want to read that sentence one more time. He is perfectly aware that you do not know yourselves and perfectly aware of how to teach you what you are. Because he loves you, he will gladly teach you what he loves, for he wills to share it. Remembering you always, he cannot let you forget your worth. For the Father never ceases to remind him of his Son, and he never ceases to remind his Son of the Father. God is in your memory because of him. You chose to forget your Father, but you did not will to do so, and therefore you can decide otherwise. As it was my decision, so it is yours. So this is pretty cool. This is, Paula, you were just saying this before, that we can't do it without the Holy Spirit. And this is exactly what this paragraph is saying, that the Holy Spirit's our strength because the Holy Spirit perceives us truly. The Holy Spirit sees our soul as who we are. And it's, I think it says somewhere in the course that this is a course in getting to know yourself. The Holy Spirit is us. The Holy Spirit is that part of our higher mind that has not forgotten what it is. So it's that higher part of our mind that's remembering who we are for this little fragment of our minds that has chosen to forget.
You know, it's so interesting when I remember to go into any situation with the Holy Spirit, how really effortless everything becomes.
Uh-huh.
But when I don't, and again, this is over time, you know, I'm more often remembering to do that. But last evening I went out with some friends and didn't do that.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, it was fine. It was fine. But I came home feeling very often, very separate. And I just got that realization, you know, had I gone into that situation, you know, with the intention of letting go of any judgments and letting them be who they are. And, you know, if I went into the situation, I wouldn't have to go through that, you know, uncomfortable feeling later.
Right.
When the ego kicks in there and says, well, you know, she shouldn't have said, if she was a real friend, you know, she would be more supportive and all that crap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had to sit down and work with a workbook lesson to really get clear in my mind how, you know, I could have done better. It really could have. And the wonderful thing that it always comes down to is the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of your wrong decision mm-hmm. if you will let him.
Right.
And I'll tell you, once I got to that point and that recognition, I felt 100% better.
Mm-hmm.
And I love those mm-hmm. people.
Awesome.
I really love those people. But, for you know, sometimes I just have to go through this process.
Yeah, yeah, and that process is our learning, and allowing yourself to go through that process is actually a really loving, kind thing to do, because you're just letting yourself go through, you know, what we need to go through to learn our lessons. I did it just again yesterday and today. We have the Miracle Share conference coming up starting on Friday, and I'm just there's a lot, obviously, that goes into the technical stuff behind the scenes, and I was just struggling and feeling so overwhelmed because I was just trying to figure out how to work some of the back-end things. And I had this little thought that, like, after a few hours came in, like, ask the Holy Spirit, dummy. Like, I mean, that's
yeah,
my words.
Yeah,
now, but, like,
yeah.
You forgot again. Like, you're trying to do this on your own. And
on your own.
I felt like I was carrying, like, three heavy backpacks. And once I remembered to ask, it was like, oh, yeah.
Wait a minute.
I'm actually not carrying any heavy backpacks. This, you know, and it just all unfolded. And then another beautiful thing was that we had, long story short, one of the videos that we'll be airing needed some music toward the end of it. And out of the blue, a woman who I believe is a cousin of Helen Schuckman, has a website called Miracle Jingles. She writes little jingles to the workbook lessons, I believe, and just like little, you know, short little songs, just repeating, singing the lesson over and over. And she offered out of the blue, like, hey, you know, if you need my music for anything, like, you know, you can use it. Yeah. And at first I was like, oh, you know, I think we're good. We're all set up. And I was like, wait a second. Like, I have this one little piece that I've been putting off because I haven't been knowing, you know, I haven't known what to do about it. And so it was just, it was perfect. So again, another reminder of like, come on, like, right. Just remember
to program.
Ask. So yeah, yeah, it's pretty funny. And it's just our learning, you know. I didn't beat myself up afterwards for forgetting again. It just was another opportunity to just forgive myself for just letting it, you know, just to let it be what it was, and to yet again turn to the Holy Spirit, and it all just fell into place.
Yeah.
So yeah.
You know, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Brian.
Is it okay? Yeah, I'm looking at the first paragraph, and I see you cannot sell your soul, but you can sell your awareness of it. And then at the bottom of the second paragraph, you choose to forget your father. And to me, I can't say why, but this thought of this term that I've been hearing seemed to come into my mind, automatic pilot.
Mm.
That just came to me like it's the opposite end.
Mm.
It is the ego.
Yeah.
When it takes over, it just automatic pilot.
That's so, you're spot on.
Yeah, it's crazy, but it just kept coming back to me like I've heard it in different readings, and it's just this mindless letting go that you just give in and you're weak. You have no backbone.
And yet,
Someone else is flying the plane.
Yep. I think we're very much resonating with what you're saying. And yet what is also coming up for me as I'm thinking about this is, like, at the same time, what we will come to know again is that automatic pilot actually, in truth, is our complete dependence and trust in the Holy Spirit, in God, it will become that automatic, that ends
That's
up
beautiful.
Being our default rather than the ego default. So it's
I'm
like,
so glad you said that.
That'll be nice.
Because I'm finding, like, not all the time, but the more you give things to Spirit becomes your automatic pilot.
Yes.
There you go.
And, you know, that's how I'm getting through this transitional stage or whatever, and is that Spirit takes over. And I find that, you know, like, Spirit will just motivate you to do things before you even realize what you're doing, sort of like what you were describing with the music, Corinne, is that you just have this knowing that, oh, I should take action here or go over here and do this, or... And you just, it's a complete trust that you're being guided every step of the way, and everything just falls into place, and it's completely effortless.
Yep. I think the one of the key pieces with sort of making that leap from, like, the ego automatic pilot to the Holy Spirit automatic pilot, again, it's the continual willingness to turn to the Holy Spirit, and it's that building of trust that we're going through that is enabling us to realize that, you know, the Holy Spirit really is the only automatic pilot. But one of the key things, at least for me, and again, I vacillate, like, with the stories that I just shared. Brian, you just read this, that sentence, you chose to forget your father, but you did not will to do so. That choosing to forget, once I realized that I was, you know, doing all this stuff by myself without asking for the Holy Spirit for help, I was aware of a tiny little inclination, this tiny little impulse that loves being in charge and doing it by myself. And so recognition of that part of my mind that actually likes being this independent, seemingly, you know, separate, independent self, that's the part of me that chooses to forget. So it's not that, you know, any of the work that I've done with turning to the Holy Spirit just suddenly all disappears. It's again, there's just that part of me that comes up where I chose to forget about it again. And then I remembered that, hey, wait, this isn't really what makes me happy. So one of the, let me just see if I can find it really quick. I'm just searching on the online edition of the course because I'm looking for, okay. In chapter 27 of the FIP edition, you perhaps have heard, other teachers talk about the statement in the course where into eternity, the sentence is, into eternity where all is one, there crept a tiny, mad idea at which the Son of God remembered not to laugh. I've heard a number of people talk about that sentence before with the creeping in of that tiny, mad idea, and then the Son of God forgot to laugh. I was listening to John Mark Stroud, who I think we've referenced for the past couple weeks on the call, and he raised such an important point about this sentence. We often skip right over. We don't really read that word, the Son of God remembered not to laugh. So it's not just that the Son of God, you know, forgot to laugh or just didn't laugh. It's that the Son of God, us, remembered not to laugh, which implies,
yeah,
again, a conscious choice,
yeah,
to buy into the ego, to listen to the ego. And that's, it says it again here, you chose to forget your father, but you did not will to do so. So, you know, in our higher mind, we didn't will this, but it's this, you know, ego part of our mind that chose to forget. And so for me, being willing to own that, there is this little tiny voice in me that actually likes taking on all these little details because I can show that I, you know, can do it all, and just being willing to look at it and acknowledge it and look at it with the Holy Spirit, that's all I have to do. And so that, for me, owning that it's been a choice on my part to forget about turning to God, even if it doesn't feel like a choice at times, that's been really helpful for me. So I just throw that out there because that was coming up as we were talking.
That's beautiful. That's it.
Thank you, Brian, for sharing that. I love that about the pilot. That's perfect.
Yep.
The good pilot. Not that Tasmanian guy.
Right. You know, you just reminded me, too, with the idea of, like, a pilot. I just thought of, like, Taz driving your car. Like, if you're chilling out in the back seat, do you want Taz driving the car? Or do you want the Holy Spirit driving the car? And I often used to use that image in my mind of who is driving my car? Am I behind the wheel, meaning my ego, or am I kicking my feet up and resting in the back seat knowing that the Holy Spirit has the wheel? So that was just a little image that popped up in my mind.
I use that with my clients, but it's so funny.
Really?
Yeah, the who's driving the car thing. I mean, I don't use the Holy Spirit unless they're a course student, but I mean, yeah, I do that. And I was thinking when you guys were talking about the automatic pilot, how it's just not efficient. Like when Taz is driving, it's just completely inefficient as opposed to when Holy Spirit's driving the car.
Right.
Oh my God.
Taz is making detours and running over things and taking the road that's not paved.
Bumping into things.
I just think it's hilarious that you all picked this up.
It's a very valuable example.
I'm glad. I'm really glad. I'll have to Google that energy drink commercial and see if it's on YouTube.
Oh. Right. I think it was a Geico commercial, and he was drinking an energy. Yeah, something like that.
Geico, okay.
Okay, let's take the next paragraph. You do not want the world. The only thing of value in it is whatever part of it you look upon with love. This gives it the only reality it will ever have. Its value is not in itself. but yours is in you. As self-value comes from self-extension, so does the perception of self-value come from the projection of loving thoughts outward. Make the world real unto yourself, for the real world is the gift of the Holy Spirit, and so it belongs to you. I have these first sentences underlined. You do not want the world. The only thing of value in it is whatever part of it you look upon it with, whatever part you look upon with love. This gives it the only reality it will ever have. So then it goes on to say, its value, so the world's value is not in itself, but yours, our value, is in us. We find it within. We don't find it without. As self-value comes from self-extension, so, okay, the way that I'm interpreting this sentence, and please, if anybody has any other thoughts, please throw them out there. Again, just like we talked about the difference between perception versus knowledge, perception, perceiving is what we do here in this level, knowing is what we do in the formless level. Extension is what we do in that formless level. God extends love. We continue that extension, and it just goes on. Here, in our realm of perception, we're projecting. So we are projecting outwards. And so the way that I read this sentence is, as self-value comes from self-extension. So in other words, I'm reading that as a capital S, self. So as we value our true selves by extending our true selves, so does the perception of self-value come from projection of the loving thoughts outward. So as we project instead here loving thoughts outward rather than our ego thoughts through the help of the Holy Spirit, we come to know our true self. So wow. That's what that means to me. And this idea of the real world, I think we've talked about this before, but the Course talks about how, you know, as we turn our perceptions to the Holy Spirit and get the Holy Spirit's miracles, you know, as we use the Holy Spirit's vision, what we start to see is a different type of vision. It's not with the body's eyes, but it's that seeing of the real world, seeing just the love that is here. And I can't think of any specific references in the Course, but just my sense, even from reading accounts of near-death experiences, like I'm thinking of Dr. Eben Alexander's account where he actually was seeing, when he was out of his body in this other realm, seeing people and, you know, animals all extremely peaceful and happy, I almost take it as like we begin to see the real world here in this level of form. And as we continue to, you know, return our awareness back to the truth of what we are, we continue to see that real world as once we no longer perceive ourselves in a body. And that's my take on it.
Yeah, I was going to say when you were talking earlier that that's like how I've been feeling lately is that it's like you're here, but you're not in a way. Like... because things start to fall away. I'm not saying that I have it perfected or anything, or that I don't have my moments where the Taz is definitely there, but it feels less and less like,
right.
Like I'm able to see the truth more in situations that arise and whatnot.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I can resonate with that.
Yeah, be in this world, but not of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's how it feels. Like,
sometimes that makes me feel a little anxious because that sometimes the ego, Taz, gets in there and interprets that as, you know, being separate, apart. If you're not a part of the world, be in this world, but not of it, then you're separate from it. And that's, again, I think that's an ego interpretation, you know, because if anything, I think it's really just the opposite when you do that with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
It is because you're holding the truth for
everyone.
For everyone.
Well, if you're holding it for your for everyone, you're holding it for yourself also. You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
It's
But
and
you're
again,
right. It is.
Sorry. It just goes back to really letting everything be exactly as it is right now. I got such a feeling of comfort and relief from the idea, because I just read it. I think we talked about it last week. Oh, wait a minute. It'll come to me in a minute. This has been in my head all week, actually. And, you know, then the ego wants to block this. So
let's
just keep going. It'll come back.
Okay, and I'll just say, Paula, too, just responding to what you said, you know, being in this world but not of it and noticing a little bit of anxiety that comes up. Of course, you know, that's just the ego creating that anxiety. And so even just being willing to, rather than just let it, you know, pass by, just saying, oh, there it is. I'm willing to look at this with the Holy Spirit. And that's all we have to do. That's our little part.
Yeah, I was reading something of Marianne Williamson's the other day, and this made me think of what you were saying about anxiety coming up, Paula, is that she said something, the line was, self-acceptance is death to the ego. So if we remember that the ego's mantra is seek but do not find, and so
exactly
the ego wants death for us, you know, like that's the whole point. And so there is that anxiety from the ego's perspective, because when you're not investing in the ego, it can't live, it can't, you know.
Right, the ego doesn't want us to find our true self. It doesn't want us to remember our true self.
And I think it really comes down to not settling for that. For that, you know, when the anxiety comes up, really just breathing through it and just moving through it with the Holy, calling on the Holy Spirit's perspective.
Absolutely.
For that, you know, that shift. There are no accidents, and chance plays no part. That's the thing. This, oh my God, some things occurred during the week that just didn't feel right to me.
Uh-huh.
And that kept coming into my mind, and it was like, oh my God, there's really nothing wrong in this situation.
I love that. Could you say that again? There are no accidents.
No part.
And that's what you're trying to remember before, right?
That's what I was trying to remember before. But the ego does not want – that is such good news when you think about it, really.
I think that's probably – and not in those exact words, but just that thought that everything is as it should be is what got me through this week, because there were so many times my ego started spiraling into, like, how come my dad went this way and blah, 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 blah. And then when I would – go back to the Holy Spirit and be like, you know, I can't understand this, so I need to just surrender it and remember everything is as it should be, and I don't know. Like, my mind, my ego mind is not going to understand it because it is insane. And then that's when I would be able to connect to my peace again. And then when I was able to do that, I was able to help other people do it too.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It is. It's such an awesome idea. It really is. Because this is all divine.
Yeah.
The whole thing is divine. And we don't know.
No.
Yeah,
we
don't know in the way it's like our finite mind likes to analyze things, right? But what really helped me with the transition of my dad is just the awareness that, you know, his soul contract, that's the reason he exited the way that he did.
Yeah.
You know, and that brings a lot of peace with it. It's like my soul and his soul made an agreement. And in that agreement is exactly how we exit, and everything's already happened. So there's a lot of peace and comfort in that, and I don't need to know anything else. I don't need to know or understand anything else.
You know, right, the Holy Spirit's got the whole big picture, and all
exactly.
we need, our only job is to choose peace and
right.
let the Holy Spirit take care of all that.
Amen.
I have a neighbor of 50 years who just passed this week, and that is what really helped me so much, because I just loved her. Oh, she was really a wonderful person. And that kept coming into my mind. There's no accident that she passed. This is all a part of, and it's a happy plan. It's God's plan for us is happy. So happiness is always in there. You know, it's the ego perspective that keeps us from seeing that.
Yep. I found, Paula, the line that came up for you throughout the week, just FYI, in case anybody wants to find it. I'll just read it first, and then I'll tell you where it is in the book. It's, remember that no one is where he is by accident, and chance plays no part in God's plan.
Beautiful.
It's
where
in,
is that?
it's in the Manual for Teachers. And it's part 9, the heading is, Are Changes Required in the Life Situation of God's Teachers? So that's great.
Manual for Teachers, part 9?
Yes. I think in the Sparkle Edition it's not numbered, but it's Are Changes Required in the Life Situation of God's Teachers?
And Sparkle, that's page 27 of the manual. I just looked it up.
Oh, gosh, you're awesome. Okay.
Very quick.
Actually, I think that was spirit because I'm not that fast and I just so FYI.
Awesome.
Hey, family, I'm checking in. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. Who's this?
This is Carla.
Oh, welcome, Carla.
Hey, thank you. I came in. Thank you. Me too. What are we studying tonight?
We are, do you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition?
Yes.
So you would be on page 228. And I was just going to start reading the beginning of paragraph number 4 on page 228.
Okay.
All good?
Yes.
Great. And actually, just looking at that, I'm seeing that I'll read in the Sparkle edition, I'm going to read the next two paragraphs because they appear as one paragraph in the FIP edition, I think. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Correction is for all who cannot see. To open the eyes of the blind is the Holy Spirit's mission, for he knows that they have not lost their vision, but merely sleep. He would awaken them from the sleep of forgetting to the remembering of God. Christ's eyes are open, and he will look upon whatever you see with love if you accept his vision as yours. The Holy Spirit keeps the vision of Christ for every son of God who sleeps. In his sight, the Son of God is perfect, and he longs to share his vision with you. He will show you the real world because God gave you heaven. Through him, your Father calls to his Son to remember. The awakening of his Son begins with his investment in the real world, and by this, he will learn to reinvest in himself. For reality is one with the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit blesses the real world in their name. I have, again, the first few sentences underlined. Correction is for all who cannot see. So that's for all of us. To open the eyes of the blind is the Holy Spirit's mission, for he knows that they have not lost their vision, but merely sleep. How cool is that? We haven't lost our vision, we merely sleep, and it's the Holy Spirit's mission to open the eyes of those who do not see.
Boy, that's really hitting me where I live. I had a car accident earlier this week. This is Carla. And Yeah, and so, and the aftermath, of course, all I could think about was, like, and no, did nobody plan and execute this but ego. And it just reminded me that I'm still asleep. Because for some reason, I still think and believe I deserve to suffer. So it seems as if I get up and I'm asking for those witnesses to go out and search for me. Go search for me and bring me all the suffering that you think that you can find today. And, yeah, I mean, it's the repercussions certainly in terms of work. I missed a few days and that vacation time that I don't have anymore. And the time was planned, and that's money that I really wasn't planning on spending, and just being uncomfortable. I must say that I'm on the upswing for sure, so I'm definitely grateful for that, that there was no serious injury, but I'm like, this is nothing but that part of my mind that is trying to take me out. So, you know, and it hit on all the issues that, well, are somewhat important to me in this body. Work, yeah, because nobody is paying the bills but me. And vacation time, well, yeah, I do like to take my time off, and I do, and I enjoy being able to do that. And money, I'm like, wow, all in one 3-second shot.
Right.
All that
right.
stuff came up for me.
Right.
And I found myself feeling anxious today, as I was laying in the bed and couldn't go to sleep. So I just got up and started doing some things I needed to get done. But I feel very angry. And I'm like, I can't even blame anybody. Because the person who hit me, they're in the law's eyes. Okay, yeah, they're at fault. But I know what's up. I know what's up.
Wow.
So. Yeah, thank you. I just needed to put that out there. I certainly want another way to look at that.
Yeah, yeah, and that's why I'm struck by your, you know, you started out with saying that this strikes you because you are recognizing that you're merely asleep, like it says right there. To me, that's an empowering thing to say, in a sense, to just recognize that this is where I'm at, or you know, I don't even necessarily know if I'm sleeping or waking or what is going on in that space of, you know, I don't know is oftentimes where we find our footing again. But just noticing what's coming up for you, you named a number of things related to money, vacation, you know, the feelings of anger, and I also heard you say, you know, that you're willing to see this all differently. And so it's helpful for me to remember that, you know, it wasn't the Holy Spirit that made this situation happen. It wasn't, you know, a lesson coming from Spirit. Instead, you know, like it sounds like you're recognizing that this is part of the ego's script. And the miracle is that willingness to see differently. It's that shift that comes when we touch that willingness to see differently and give that willingness to Spirit. And it sounds like you're willing to do that. And so I think it's also how you acknowledge that you have anger coming up too. We have to be where we're at. And so if you feel that anger, own it, you know, be angry. And whenever it is that you feel ready to be willing, you know, to look at it differently, then that time can come then. So it just, I'm just struck by how much you are sort of open to just sort of looking at what's going on.
The part about the money, Corinne,
uh-huh.
Can you talk about the part about the money? Because when she said that, I mean, money is, you know, money is us.
So one of the lessons that's coming to mind at the moment, and I still have my little search tool open here. Let me see if I can tell you which one it is. Stacks of metal discs. and
yeah.
piles of green paper strips. It's the workbook. Yeah, here we go. It's lesson 76. I'm just going to read this one paragraph. This is lesson 76, I am under no laws but God's. And the paragraph that has this sentence in it, think of the freedom and the recognition that you are not bound by all the strange and twisted laws you have set up to save you. You really think that you would starve unless you have stacks of green paper strips and piles of metal discs. You really think a small round pellet or some fluid pushed through into your veins through a sharpened needle will ward off disease and death. You really think you are alone unless another body is with you. It is insanity that thinks these things. So we very much have this, you know, collective agreement in this thing called money that, you know, we believe that we need it to survive, and yet there are examples in the world of people like Peace Pilgrim being one of the recent examples that I can think of, where she demonstrated that she needed nothing to survive, that she would just trust that what she needed would be brought to her. And so, you know, the money is, I think, a huge sort of sticky area where we can get really tripped up in. But the Course is very clear in saying that this is, you know, one of the twisted laws that we've set up to save ourselves and that we think that we really need it. And it's our task to learn that, as we've said before, in coming to realize that we're completely dependent on God, that's where our complete freedom is. Everything that we need will be provided. It might not come in the form that we think it should. It might not look like how our ego wants it to look like in terms of, you know, being in a particular location or having a particular, you know, house or whatever that may be.
Oh, but that's possible too.
Yeah, absolutely. What we need will be provided. And it's funny because this has been one of the areas that it sort of makes me giggle when I've always had a lot of trust in, you know, in this area with what I need will be provided. And I remember even getting my first job out of grad school, I was like, you know what? I just want it to be given to me. Like, I don't even want to have to interview for it. That's how it happened. That's how job opportunities have continued to come up for me. And so it's a place where we can put a lot of fear. And as we can get willing to look at that fear with the Holy Spirit and look at our attachment to money, look at our, you know, our idol that we've made of it, that we think, you know, that it ensures our safety, as we can look at that with the Holy Spirit, that's when those miracles can come to help show us that if we're looking to the bank account to establish our safety, that's going to scare the hell out of us. It's when we start turning and learning that our true safety comes from God, that's where the peace comes from.
And I think also it's that thinking we know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Thinking we know.
Right.
That's the most... It's difficult.
Yeah, so Carla just...
Literally,
like
trust will settle all things now, but,
yeah.
You know, that trust is essential.
Yeah. So just to add, Carla, just what I wanted to say is just that it sounds like as much as the ego stirring the pot right now, it's coming up. It's almost like I used to use this analogy with my clients of like when I was a kid, we'd get in our above ground pool and we'd start all walking in the same direction, kind of like trying to run to get like the whirlpool going. And it would usually like, you know, kick up some of the stuff on the bottom, but as the water kicks up, the filter's going and it's cleaning out the water. So as all this crap gets kicked up by the ego and it just feels like there's, you know, so much going on, it's coming up because it's an opportunity for us to look at all of our attachments, all of our beliefs with the Holy Spirit, and to leave no stone unturned, to just bring it all to the Holy Spirit. So as much as it sucks, there's lots of potential there. There's lots of potential there for shifts. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Thank you. I appreciate your encouragement and reminding me
of
the truth. Mm-hmm.
Corinne, I'm not sure if I'm remembering the lesson number, but I think lesson 70 might also say, I am entitled to miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's coming to mind too. Because God is our source and supply, nothing else.
Right. I am entitled to miracles, lesson 77.
Okay.
Yep. You are entitled to miracles because of what you are. You will receive miracles because of what God is. And you will offer miracles because you are one with God. Again, how simple is salvation? It is merely a statement of your true identity. That's awesome. That's perfect, EG. Thank you. Wow. Let's read the next paragraph. I just lost my place, but I think I found it. When you have seen this real world, as you will surely do, you will remember us. Yet you must learn the cost of sleeping and refuse to pay it. Only then will you decide to awaken. And then the real world will spring to your sight, for Christ has never slept. He is waiting to be seen, for he has never lost sight of you. He looks quietly on the real world, which he would share with you because he knows of the Father's love for him. And knowing this, he would give you what is yours. In perfect peace, he waits for you at his Father's altar, holding out the Father's love to you in the quiet light of the Holy Spirit's blessing. For the Holy Spirit will lead everyone home to his Father, where Christ waits as his self. I love that lesson. For the Holy Spirit will lead everyone home to his Father. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And there's some other really good ones here. You must learn the cost of sleeping and refuse to pay it. So that also comes up with what we were just talking about when, you know, the shit starts hitting the fan and multiple things are coming up at once. That's also what comes up for me. I've shared this story a number of times, but when I had to go for, this is years ago, had to go for some lab work, the nurse, as I was talking to her, she was drawing my blood, she says, don't you pass out on me, and so guess what I started to do? I started to pass out. I looked at that as my own fear calling those witnesses for my ego forth and call it, Carla, I felt like that's what you were saying before, just that recognition again,
yeah.
You know, that this is coming from that sleeping part of my split mind, the ego part. When I went through a situation right after that where I had to get some more lab work done and I was just determined where it says, you know, what we just read, you learn the cost of sleeping and you refuse to pay it, only then will you decide to awaken. That's having to go back for lab work a second time and feeling very anxious about it. This time I was just so willing to call forth witnesses to love after having gone through what I had prior and having owned that that was coming from me rather than placing blame on that other person, you know, that nurse who was a lousy nurse. I had a totally different experience where I walked into the to get the lab work done, and my college friend's mother was working. She was the one that did my labs. It was totally fine, and as I was walking out, she said, she's like, Corinne, you know, this is really great. This worked out. She's like, I never work on Mondays. It was a Monday. She's like, I just happened to get called in, like, you know, 30 minutes before you showed up. So I know I've shared that on the call before, so I just wanted to give you the abridged version, but that's just the power of when we stop placing blame outside of ourselves and own that it's coming from us, not feeling guilty about it too, because that's super, super important, is that the Course says as we withdraw blame from without, there's a strong tendency to harbor it within. So that's where we still have to look at any feelings of guilt or, you know, sort of those self-defeating thoughts. That's all the ego. That's only ever the ego. So it becomes our task to look at that as well with the Holy Spirit to learn that we've done nothing wrong. There's no cause for guilt. We're already healed, and we become happy learners.
And we're not guilty.
And we're not guilty.
And we're not victims.
No. Yay. Oh, well, that feels like, I guess, a good place to stop reading. Does anybody have any anything else that's come up as we've been reading? Now we're talking.
I just feel so grateful for this call.
Me too.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yes,
thank
really
you.
Really is the best.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Well, it feels like we are done for this week, so we will reconvene next week and pick up where we left off. So thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So much love.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for everything.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you. Have a blessed week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.